Well, the Lord blessed us this morning with a powerful message from Dr. Weaver. For those of you that are guests tonight, Dr. Willie Weaver pastored the Worth Baptist Church for almost 19 years. I was 23 years old the first time I talked to Dr. Weaver, and he talked to me about coming down to Worth to being the youth pastor. And I can't tell you some of the dearest memories, some of the most treasured times of my entire life are the times that Dr. Weaver and I spent together, mentoring me, teaching me, praying with me. He's been there when I needed him. And I know that if you've been at this church for any time at all, you've got a story like that too. A time when you needed a pastor, you needed a friend, and he and Mrs. Weaver were there for you. So we praise the Lord. They have been a gift to our church. They continue to be a gift to our church as they continue to minister to us. We're excited about the message you have for us, Dr. Weaver. Come and preach.
I'll pay you later, all right? Have an agreement. No, thank you for those kind words. You know, we come into a church on Sunday night many times with a lot of burdens on our heart, a lot of worries. You don't tell everybody maybe about your worries, and some you might tell about your worries, but you come into the building with various things on your mind. And worrying sometimes is one of those things. And I don't believe God wants us to live that kind of life, a life of worry and fretting. How many of you remember Billy Bass? Raise your hand. Some of you would remember they had a little placard with a big bass on it. Now you remember. And you'd punch the button on it, and he would say, turn his face toward you, or whatever you call it, turn his head toward you and say, don't worry, be happy. And I'd punch it, don't worry, be happy, don't worry, be happy. There was another version of that that said, take me to the river, you know. So, but the one I like was, don't worry, be happy. Now let's go to Psalm 37, would you? Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. How to win over worry. Don't worry, be happy. Psalm 37, one of my favorite psalms. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. You ever get a little upset the way evildoers do and they seem to prosper? Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't envy them. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you don't have the desires of your heart tonight, it may be because you're not delighting in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And here's our key verse for tonight, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Did you get that? Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And he goes on to give more instruction. But I want to clue in or target in on these words in verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Now, worrying and resting in the Lord are two different things. And so he tells us to sit quietly in his presence. That's what he's saying. Rest in the Lord. Sit quietly in the presence of Almighty God so that he can speak to us. Listen again to the Psalmist 46:10. Be still. That's hard for some Christians to do. We look at our children, we want them to be still sometimes. Just be still. God wants us to be still. So he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Isaiah 26 in verse 3, same kind of admonition. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. mature, complete, perfect peace. Do you have perfect peace tonight? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I ask you tonight, are you really trusting in the Lord? Or are you worrying and fretting, trying to figure it out and work it out yourself? That's not what the Bible tells us to do. And God says, if you'll do these things, I will bless you. Our mind sometimes needs to get real still before God like a pool of water. When I was a little boy, we'd go out to an old pond. We used to swim in some of them, swim with the water moccasins and everything else. But we'd go out there and the water would be very placid on the top of those ponds, and I think you call them tanks in Texas. And so we would pick up a rock and throw it out there. It was calm and waiting on it, and then it hit and just ripple out. And I always thought that was interesting, how it was so placid and so calm, and then you'd throw that rock in there, maybe two or three rocks, and it would just ripple out. I like to do that when you go fishing. You see the water all around you that's calm. Now, mine stays calm even after I fish, but other than when I throw the line in, and it goes into that, the water's very placid usually, and you throw it out there, and it goes down, and it makes some ripples, and you hope you're going to catch a big old catfish or something like that when you go out there. Well, our minds sometimes just need to get, they just need to be placid. They need to be quiet before God. And that's sort of hard for us to do in the kind of world that we live in. If we'd get still enough sometimes, God would tell us something. If we'd get still enough sometimes, God would drop a rock in our placidity, if that's a word. God will make some ripples come into our life. He'll make some good things, good thoughts come if we'll just let him do that. The challenge for us many times is to get still. Just to get still before God. There's nothing in the world to me like just getting still and getting quiet before God. Maybe before you pray, or maybe after you pray, or maybe some other time. Where you just think about God and you meditate on God and you meditate on eternity and you meditate on life and you meditate on who you are and where you are with God. You just stop and start thinking about those things. If you don't have a quiet place, you need to get a quiet place. A place where you can get alone from all the noise and all the racket and everything else and get along with God and get alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. A quiet place. Even Jesus did that. He went up into the mountains. Many times he'd go there at nighttime and get away from everybody else and do what? Spend time with the Father. Friends, if Jesus needed that in his divine humanity, then you and I need it in our lives as God's children. We need it. We need to turn off the television. I think one of the greatest enemies to the home is television. I remember when we got our first television, I remember what was on the program, Howdy Doody. How many of you remember Howdy Doody time? Yeah. Clarabelle the Clown, I think, all of that. Some of you young people don't have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about, and you're just as well off not to know. But I can remember that I had altered our home. And I'm telling you, many times, the quiet time we should be giving to God, we're giving to that one-eyed monster in our house. And I'm not against television per se. I'm against a whole lot of it. And a whole lot of it today, some of you are news junkies. I mean, you just watch news all the time. You cannot get saturated. But sometimes we need to turn that thing off. And not make it a habit of sitting in the easy chair or the couch potato, but get alone somewhere and spend some of that time with God. We need to turn off the games and get rid of Facebook. Oh, beloved Facebook. I knew Brother Riggs would say amen. Emails. I think I've got 150 emails on my phone. Just hold on. I'll get to it one of these days. All of those things are vying for our time. Cell phones, texting, all of that. Ladies, housework, many things. There's so many things. Some of it's necessary, but a whole lot of it is, if we just plan it right and put our priorities right, we would find some quiet time to sit still before God and listen to God. And we need to do that. You need to plan to do it. Do it habitually. And then add some time sometimes. There's some times that you might take advantage of. I try to have a Bible everywhere in our house. One in the restroom, one by my easy chair, one in the living room, and one in my office. I have more than that in my office, but Bibles here, Bibles there, so that I can reach over and get it, one by my bed, and so I can just flip the light on and pull up the Bible and start reading the Bible. But we need some quiet time with God. And if you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, don't lie in bed and just wrestle with yourself for an hour thinking about 100 different things that you really don't need to be thinking about. Spend some time talking to God. The older I've gotten, the more I wake up at night, around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And I think I'm getting over some of that, but I think that's a good time just talk to God. I mean, you know, ladies, if your husband's snoring like a bear and he wakes you up and you can't go back to sleep, maybe move to another room or whatever you have to do, but spend some time with God. Maybe that's why God woke you up. I don't know. God woke Samuel up to talk to him. But sometimes your mate may go to sleep before you do, and you're lying in bed awake. What are you going to do? Just lie there and worry about things? No. God wants us to think on Him, to put our minds on God, to think about God all the time, night and day. Then He says to us, rest in my sufficiency. The latter part of verse 7, I think that's what He's saying, where He's saying, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. And He's saying also, wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait on the Lord. I tell you, sometimes everything we want it right now. I mean, we want it now, now. And if we can't get it right now, we get totally frustrated. And sometimes that's the way it is with God. But we need to learn to wait on God. Rest in God's sufficiency. We have a lot of challenges every day of our life. Some of you have already faced some challenges today. And you will face some tomorrow. There are all kinds. Stuff. Y'all want to quit buying this cheap stuff. Now, am I back on? All right. So you always have some challenges. Even when you're preaching, you have challenges. Daily challenges. Sometimes it's work. Some of you know that you had a rough work week last week. You got some boss that's mean as the devil and cantankerous, and you can't talk to him. You can't he doesn't seem to understand what you're going through. All of that, and some of you, the work you have to do in this heat, it's hard work, it's very difficult work. Because of that, you have these challenges. I'm telling you, God is there for you to help you out. And you just have to lean on God. I could tell you some stories, I don't have time, but I've seen God move people out of places of position that were giving people who were godly people a hard time. And God said, I've had enough of that, and I'm going to move them out, and He's moved them out. God can do that. Sometimes it's our children. Sometimes our children rebel. We have challenges. What in the world are we going to do? Are we going to fall apart? Are we going to quit on God? Are we going to quit church? What are we going to do? Are we going to blame God for that? We should not blame God for it. We have to turn it over to God and rest in His sufficiency. Give God time, and He'll take care of that one way or the other. Just give Him time. And don't get impatient with God. God is always on time. Our schedules we have with our children sometimes, we have challenges. We run them here. Some of them go to soccer, and then they go to some kind of basketball deal, and then maybe football, and then hockey, and all kinds of things. And the girls have all kinds of other things they do. We're just running back and forth all the time. All of these challenges that are there, but we need to turn those challenges over to the Lord. Sometimes it's finances. Some of you right now wonder, how in the world are we going to pay next month's rent? How are we going to pay the bills next week? What are we going to do? Friend, I'm telling you, be still before God. God will meet your need if you'll talk to Him and if you'll lean on Him and rest in the Lord and be quiet before the Lord. By the way, if you're robbing from God and stealing His tithe, don't expect Him to bless you. You ought to get a little worried about that. But if you're doing right and putting God first in your finances and things seem to be very difficult, just turn it over to God. Maybe it's physical problems. Maybe it's some marriage problems. I'm not naive enough to believe that everybody in this building and everybody that's a member of this church has wonderful, glorious, happy, get-along-together marriages. But I'm telling you, if you get quiet before God and lean on God and turn it over to God and wait on God in God's time, He'll take care of that. And I believe that's what He's talking about. Wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Don't be so upset about it. Just turn it over to God and let God work on it. Sometimes students have problems with their studies, and now we're going back to school, back to the university, back to college, and maybe going from middle school to high school or whatever they call them now, and all of that, and you're wondering, what am I going to do? Turn it over to God. Let God take care of it. God can take care of it. We all have deadlines that come, deadlines all the time. I used to hate some of those deadlines, but you can't help it. You're going to have deadlines. But you have to depend on God, and God will help you through those times. And ladies, your household chores, God will help you with that. Just lean on Him. Sometimes you feel overwhelmed. You work a job 40 hours a week somewhere else. You go home, you have to do all the cooking. You have to do all the washing. You have to do all the ironing. Do women still cook? Yeah. You have to do all of those things. You have to do all of that. And it gets sort of frustrating sometimes. Somebody said it this way, man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Now, ladies, don't say amen too loud. But it's so true, isn't it? What do? You get frustrated. You get all of this on you. You get all this pressure on you. You can fall apart. You can worry. You can fret over it, or you can turn it over to God. You can get on your knees in a quiet place and ask God to help you. Don't wear yourself out worrying. Worrying never helps anybody. As a matter of fact, worrying is a sin. You say, I wouldn't drink and cuss and use drugs. I'd just worry myself to death. Worrying, friend, is a sin. We have to deal with it. It shows that we're not trusting God. We're not depending on God. We're not being quiet before God. We're fretting. And He says, fret not yourself. And so we have to be very careful with all of that. A reporter was talking to a woman, a very unusual woman. This woman's husband, she was a widow lady, and her husband passed away, and they had six children of their own. And she adopted after that 12 more children. And you think, how in the world could she be happy? How in the world could she smile? How in the world could she have a good presentation and all of that? And this reporter was asking her about it, all of her poise and charm, said, how can you do that? And she said, I'm in a partnership. He said, well, what kind of partnership is it? She said, one day, a long time ago, I said, Lord, I'll do the work and you do the worrying. And then she said, I haven't worried since. I'll let God take care of the worrying. I'll just do the work and do what I can. Because worrying will choke you to death. Worrying will choke you to death. As a matter of fact, the word worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word that literally means to choke. If you as a Christian go around worrying all the time, that's exactly what's going to happen. You will choke yourself to death. You'll rob yourself of the joy of the Lord. And we ought to have the joy of the Lord. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the face of God's green earth. We have challenges. Worry and faith are not compatible. They do not go together. Worry and faith. If your faith is strong, you need not worry. If it's weak, worrying isn't going to help it. It's just not going to help it. Worry empties the day of its strength, not of its troubles. Think about that. It robs the day of its strength. It won't change the troubles you have. When you feel down at the mouth, somebody said, think of Jonah. He came out all right. We just have to leave it in God's hands. When you feel down, worry has nowhere to go and it goes nowhere. So if you're here worrying about things tonight, it has nowhere to go. It does not commend itself to Christianity. So what do? We look to God. We communicate with Him all the time, throughout the day, throughout the night, when we have opportunity, constantly keeping our mind on God and remembering, hey, God is walking by my side. He is with me in my life. He's not way up there in heaven on His throne, away from you, not interested in your needs tonight. He knows you. He knows your life. He knows your needs. He's walking by your side. He is there for you to call on. If you just get quiet enough, let Him talk to you and let Him help you out. So what do you do? Well, when you're worried, a good thing to do is read what is called the upholding verses in the Bible. There are many of them. Here's one of them, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's Almighty God. Optimism. We ought to be people of optimism. Think about the verses of the Scripture that encourage our hearts, like Romans 8:28. We know that all things, all those things I mentioned a while ago, somehow, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purposes. And we have to believe that and let the verse, when we're going through these deep waters and these struggles and these trials, get quiet before God. Think of verses like that. There's one verse, it's called the waiting verse. We've read the waiting verse, Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting, be of good courage and He shall strengthen thy heart. Get quiet before God and wait on God and be in His presence and He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Then I think He tells us to rest by the wayside. I'm glad God's not in a hurry. Sometimes I'll be praying, maybe I'll be praying a little while longer than usual. I'll be talking about some things that I think are pretty simple things and maybe things that a lot of people wouldn't think are important. And I begin to think about that. And sometimes I think, you know, I'm so glad, God. And I'll just look up at Him and say, God, I'm so glad You're not in a hurry. Aren't you glad He's not in a hurry? You ever been around people in a hurry? You try to talk to them and you're looking right at them and they're going over here, they're in a hurry. They got to move out real quick. I'm so glad God's not that way. And I've been guilty of that before, too, because of busyness and all that. But I'm telling you, God's not in a hurry. He is never in a hurry. When I was driving recently to Virginia, up there and back, it was 2,700 miles. By the way, Miss Barbara just drove that many miles a while back. But I would stop every 2 hours. Now, they're young. They don't stop every 2 hours. But Carol and I stop every 2 hours. We try to stop every 2 hours. Because I figure that now that I'm retired, I don't have to be in that big a hurry. And I will even drive the speed limit. Well, maybe 5 or 10 miles over the speed limit. But I try to pace myself. Try to pace myself. And I think that that's what God wants us to do. Take time out for God. Take time out to stretch your spiritual legs. Walk around the rest stop for a little while. And all of that. You know, we just need to take time out to be with God. Pace yourself. A leisurely pace accomplishes more than hurried striving. And a lot of Christians are hurriedly striving rather than having a good godly leisurely pace. I remember years ago, and I apologize to my wife for using this illustration, but my teenage girlfriend, and I was driving pretty fast in those days, you know. When you're 16, 17, you think you know everything. And so I was driving fast, and this neighbor of my girlfriend's father saw me one day, and I was driving like I shouldn't have been driving. He happened to call him. And he called him. His name was Mr. Tilbury, and he said, he called me, and the next time I was over, he said, I need to talk to you. I thought, this is not good. And so I went with him and was talking to him, and He said, I want you to try a little experiment. He said, I've been told you're driving too fast and you're driving recklessly. And he had enough wisdom to talk to me gently and sanely. And he said, the next time you go on a trip, he said, when you go on that trip, he said, you watch these guys that fly around you. That's back in the two-lane highways. And they fly around you and all of that. He said, you come to the next town, you'll be right behind them. You'll be real close. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, I'll try it. And sure enough, I'd see that, and they'd pass me, and they'd just, you know, just be in a dither. And you could see they were just frustrated and waiting to get around the next car. And you come up to the first light in the next little town, and there they are sitting up there. I'm saying that we need to take our time and wait on God and get quiet before God and understand that we don't have to always be in a rush. When you rush, you forget who you are and whose you are. And I'm not talking about being lazy. Let's get that straight. Everybody ought to work. Everybody ought to do their job. And there's no place for laziness in God's people. If you're a lazy Christian, you're a backslidden Christian. There is no place for that. But I'm talking about when you're hardworking and you're doing what you ought to be doing, that there needs to be a time where you spend time with God, you slow down a little bit, you pace yourself and include God in that. Here's what happens to us. Generally speaking, we have a tendency to go all the time, don't we? We think we must be busy, 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 and that's a sign of spirituality. But friend, always being busy, 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 busy is not necessarily a sign of spirituality. We better take time to get along with God. I always remember this story about two men who were in a contest with chopping down a tree. And so they were trying, one of them was trying to win the prize. And so this one guy was chopping away, and all of a sudden he saw the other guy sitting over there, and he was just sitting down and filing his axe. And in a minute, the other guy said, I don't understand. After a while, he beat him. He said, why in the world? How could you beat me? I was chopping the whole time. He said, I'd stop, sharpen my axe, and I didn't have to chop as hard as you, and I caught up with you and passed you. Sometimes we need to stop and sharpen our axe. And I mean daily. I'm talking about a daily thing in our lives. Now, to the unsaved people, Isaiah says this, 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're never going to have that peace. You'll always be fretting. You'll never be able to rest in the Lord. You'll never be able to wait patiently for Him because you're not saved. And you will never have peace until you've settled the matter of your